Hey, Slingers, we're talking audio and AI with Joanna Penn, so stick around. Hey, how you doing on money? I know it's a touchy subject, but I got something that may help you out. See, I'm using an app called Acorns, and it helps me manage some investing, put some money back, get a little interest. It's kind of nice to watch my money grow. So I want to share that with you. Go to kevintomlinson.com/acorns, and you'll get some free money. See you there.
It's the Word Slinger Podcast, where story matters. Build your brand. Write your book. Redefine who you are. It's all about the story here. What's yours? Now, here's the guy who invented pants optional, Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger.
Word Slinger.
Well, that's my cue, and this is Kevin Tomlinson, the Word Slinger, and I'm real happy you're here because we are going to have a great chat with Joanna Penn. You may know her from the Creative Pen podcast, which is another excellent author-oriented podcast. You're definitely going to want to check that out, and you can go to the show notes of this episode. You'll find a link to thecreativepen.com. That's pen with two N's. We remind regularly on the Creative Pen podcast. You may have heard my voice on that show. I've been a guest a couple of times, but I've also been a recurring feature of sorts because of the ads I do for Drafted Digital. So that's just a little aside. But if you don't know her from the Creative Pen podcast, you may know her as an author. She writes both nonfiction and fiction, but she's got a great collection of books for the indie author, and helping you build and grow your author career. So, yeah. So anyway, Joanna is a good friend, and you know, I bump into her at conferences and things all the time, and it's always a good time. It's always fun to hang out with Joanna. So, and it was fun to hang out with her for this episode as well, because we are talking, this is a trendy subject right now. We're talking about audiobooks. Now, she has a new book coming out soon. If you're listening to this in the future, it may already have downloaded to your reading device. But she's got a book coming up called Audio for Authors, and it is about all the various audio-related technologies in the indie author space, and that includes audiobooks, podcasting like this show, voice technologies of all kinds, and we get into a lot of this, including some discussion about AI and how that's going to be a game changer for this industry and for this particular segment of the industry as well. So you're going to love this chat. Stick around after. We'll do a little, I'll have something to chat with you about on the other side. And I hope you enjoy this interview with Joanna Penn. See you on the other side. Hey, everybody. Now, do not adjust your sets. Don't adjust your radios. You're about to hear a very familiar voice in the indie author space, and that is Joanna Penn. You know her from all sorts of things, but probably the Creative Penn podcast above all. And she's got a huge body of work, both in nonfiction and fiction, and I could not be happier to refer to her as a friend, even if she won't acknowledge me in return. So, Joanna, thank you for being on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kevin. Of course we're friends. I'm sure I've drunk too many gins around you, so that means...
We've got, I've got
some
stories.
We have history.
We have some dubious history at times. I mean...
That's what happens when you've been around this space for way too long and gone to too many conferences and, you know, done too many podcasts. And you've been on my show. In fact, you're on my show regularly with your lovely voice.
I know.
With Drafted Digital anyway. So all my listeners know
I
your
get
voice
fan
too.
Mail for those ad spots.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. No, so, it's good, you know, and I think voice brand is super important, and you certainly have one.
Oh, well, thank you. And yeah, and that's a lovely dovetail into what we're actually talking about today, because you've got a book coming out called Audio for Authors, and I know there's a subtitle. Wait, Audiobooks, Podcasting, and Voice Technologies by Joanna Penn. I mean, all that right there just recommends it, but you and I both have a real love for audio. I think you actually go to next level with this stuff. So why don't you tell me a little bit about the book? What's the sort of origin of it?
Well, I think, so what happened, I mean, obviously I've been podcasting since 2009 and was listening to podcasts, listening, you know, back when it was Podio Books, I used to listen to Podcast Fiction. So I've been kind of a consumer and a producer in the podcast space for over a decade. And then 2015, when ACX opened up to the UK, I got into audiobooks. I started narrating my own. And then last year, 2019, things really started hotting up. So I got voice coaching and started narrating some fiction. So I started to get into the craft of audio, which I hadn't really before. You know, we can do podcasting, we can do speaking, but there's a craft to narration. So I started to get into that. Then I went to Podcast Movement in middle of 2019 in Orlando. And the stats that they're talking about around podcasting, so over 50% of people over the age of 12 in the US have now listened to a podcast. So that was, they said, this is like a tipping point. Podcasting is now a mainstream thing. And this is also marked by the fact that money has come into podcasting. So there's much more advertising spend in the podcasting space and the acknowledgement of the influencers who are podcasters. So that was one thing. And then on the other hand, we've got the audiobooks, now the fastest growing segment in publishing, you know, double digit growth for the last 7 years, as reported by the Audio Publishers Association. All of this. And then I was at Frankfurt Book Fair talking about, you know, the global spread of audiobooks. Findaway Voices, obviously bringing wide audio. So all of these things have kind of converged for me. And I realized that I was getting more questions about audio, about how to do audiobooks, how to do podcasting. Plus, I'm a total AI geek. And you and I have both discussed Descript, which we can come back to. I got my voice double done. I've looked at voice synth, looking at voice search. You know, Google BERT hit my website in October, and things have really changed in SEO. So I guess why now is because everything has come together to make this the most, I think, the most important topic right now for authors, creatives, anybody who creates audio or who wants to reach people who are in an audio first environment, which includes people like me, because that's how I consume.
And it's interesting because it's become more and more for me the primary way that I'll consume books now, because of, you were pointing, before the show, we were talking about what, my website and your, you know, the stuff I'm into and the stuff you're into, and it's just an onslaught of work, right? And audio has become my primary means of, you know, consuming information at this point.
Exactly. You can do it while doing other things, which is why it is becoming so dominant. And in some markets, audiobooks outsell ebooks. Yeah. So what we've got is, and this is going to only carry on spreading with, you know, 5G, with, you know, faster speeds, with more options for Authors Direct, with Findaway, which hopefully will be international in 2020. Yep. So we can all do much more. And I'm the same as you. So I basically nonfiction now. Almost entirely consumed by audiobook. And if you're a nonfiction writer and you don't have an audiobook and you're not on podcasts, I won't know who you are. Right. Like, I won't find your book. Or I'm listening to a podcast and someone says, you know, is interviewed and they talk about something, and I go to my app and I look for their audiobook, and if it's there, I add it to my wish list. If it's not there, it's done. Yeah. So there's lots of people who are missing out on this audio first consumer market, I think.
I'm one of those people, I'm going to be honest with you. With like, out of 50 books, I have like 4 that are available for audio. And so I've really got to step up my game. But, and you know why, really, because getting each book produced is either a huge time commitment or a huge cost and overhead financially. Or both.
Yes. So, well, there are definitely some caveats here. So first of all, that's why nonfiction is so much easier. So if you're listening and you write nonfiction, there's seriously no excuse, because you can do it. Most nonfiction listeners like me, like you, I listen at 1.5 speed anyway. Most of the time I don't know or care who the narrator is. I just want the information. So that's one point. Though I agree on the fiction is very expensive, and this is where I I have an opinion. And since we're friends, I'm just going to bring out my opinion.
So your, the reason always end up swaying me to do the right thing. So
do the right thing. Well, I do actually have a section of the book, which is the money side of this stuff and whether it's worth doing. And so I'm not saying that everyone should immediately go do their book in audio. But what I think the third section of the book is about voice technologies and this voice synth stuff is really important. So 2019 was also the year of the deep fake. In fact, I think it was one of the words of the year. So if people don't know, go obviously be careful what you end up Googling. But if you there's an Instagram channel where they had Zuckerberg and Donald Trump and Obama and our Prime Minister Boris Johnson all saying things that they didn't say to prove a point about deep fake voices and video. And the fact is that voice synthesis is now real. So for example, you can get Samuel L. Jackson on your Alexa now.
Right.
Just launched in December. And it's not really Samuel L. Jackson, surprisingly. It is his voice synth who will answer questions and things. So voice licensing is already happening. So what I think is going to happen in the next couple of years is that we will get the technology that will enable us to produce audio faster and cheaper with synthesized voices, and the stores will allow it. So that at the moment you cannot publish a synthesized voice audiobook, but I believe that will change in I'm picking in the next 2 years. So by 2023, we're going to have options that way. And so if you are sitting on a backlist like you are, or many people are, should you do it? Well, this is where you have to decide. If you can license your audio for 7 years to a professional organization and get the rights back in 7 years, that would seem to me the best option for fiction. If you can't, then it might be worth waiting if you don't want to do it yourself or do a voices share with Findway or that type of thing. So I don't know. What do you think about the voice synth?
I'm really excited about it. And as I see the way they keep, improving it is very, it's getting me really worked up. And my approach to this right now would be if I use one of the voice synth technologies, and pardon me, I've got like a thing going in my throat. I would go ahead and produce the entire book, but as I'm reviewing it and looking for glitches and stuff, I would just quickly record my own version of whatever line got flubbed. So I would use it as an assistive technology.
And that is exactly what's going to happen. Yeah. And I agree with you. And this is also why it's exciting for people like us and anyone listening. If you feel like you have a voice, and we all have a voice, right? But a lot of people, might consider narrating yourself. What you're talking about is correct. The thing is, you can only train a voice double, with a data set of your voice. And what I'm finding very interesting about this is the copyright issues around voice recordings mean that most famous narrators do not own their voices, or they don't own their voice recordings. So a famous narrator might not have enough data to train an AI, whereas you and I will have enough data because we own our recordings. Mm-hmm. So this is another really exciting thing about being an independent creator. And audio is creation, people. Don't just think about it as, just another format. It's actually creation. So I agree with you. I think we will have assistive technologies where we might have a dashboard where we will edit, like, sound editing, where you can add in splicing and things.
Yeah. Now, I'm glad you brought up the copyright question. Because it's creating some interesting conundrums in IP law, because it's not something anybody ever considered before. Just like most emerging innovations in technology, like no one ever thought about the consequences of this deep fake. People are taking a closer look at the whole deep fake thing to see where's the line. And I think the same sort of questions are being asked about audio. Have you run across any of that in your explorations?
Okay, well, so first of all, AI and copyright, this is a now question, because as we speak on Thursday, whatever, the 16th of January, 2020, just last weekend, the first copyright has been granted to an AI in China. As reported on VentureBeat. I don't know when this is going out, but I haven't even mentioned this on my show because I haven't recorded my show for next week yet.
Then I have to release this immediately after we record.
Release it immediately.
I got to scoop Joanna Penn.
Scoop me on my own thing. you're right. And this, maybe I'll send you a link and you can put it in the show notes, but the fact that and this is on writing, this is not on audio. So an AI, it's called like Dreamwriter or something, has created work that is considered original enough to have copyright applied when someone else plagiarized it. Copyright was granted. So this is the first case, and the US Patent Office, Patent and Copyright Office, has put out a call for people to comment on this, and that call is now closed in the US. So they've had, up until quite recently, you could send comments in about AI and copyright. So I believe that something will be coming from the US Patents and Copyright Office around this stuff. So I did speak to some voice people around this. And again, as you say, there's no, if I load all my voice up and there isn't a voice double, who does that belong to? Technically, it really belongs to Descript. And I talked to them about this, and I truly believe they want to do the right thing, as do many companies. But there has to be a value chain. And this is the thing, there's value in our copyright. So what we have to do is think, well, where can the value chain still benefit us? And I believe voice licensing is important for this, because it means I can't physically narrate all the audiobooks that I would like to narrate. But if I could license my voice, you could get my voice for a lot cheaper, you know, than me doing it. So I think voice licensing is going to be the thing that causes the explosion of ubiquitous audio. Like, every written text will be available in audio, and every audio will be available in written text. Like, that's coming very soon. But in terms of copyright of recordings, I think we have to be aware of that. I mean, there are so many questions that we're going to face in this next decade around AI and copyright. But I really believe that it's important for people to engage with. And that's why I've got several chapters in the book about around these very topics. Because at the moment, people just hold up their hands and go, I don't want anything to do with that. Just someone else sort it out. But we should be engaging.
Right. I think my perspective on this is that licensing of the voices is going to be very similar to what we already do with like stock photography and video and music. Like, I think you could probably like create a, I don't know how, what to call the encapsulated form of this. A library, right. That's good enough. So I think that, I would create this library, but that's where I see voice talent really starting to kind of come into their own in this. Cause I know guys, Vic Mignogna, for example, a good friend of mine, he's a voice actor. He can do 100 different voices. So who's to say he can't create libraries based on all those voices and then, license them out. So that's how I kind of see that working.
I think you're exactly right. And in fact, I was talking about the copyright of music for use in podcasts, and how important it is to find, some music in a jingle or whatever. And I used audiojuggle.net. And it's, there are hundreds of thousands of these short little samples that you can find. And I think you're right. It will be something like that. What I also see is, so for example, I've bought an audiobook. So say I've bought one of your audiobooks, Kevin, and it's, but I, as much as I love your voice, I would actually rather it was read by a British female, because I don't always want to listen to male American voices, which is what most audiobooks are narrated in. So what if I can, on my app, choose the voice I want, so I can switch it, so it doesn't become one product anymore? It becomes lots of different ways to use a product. And you get paid because you were the original voice, and my voice, say, as the British female, gets a micropayment for the license for that listen. So we're into the streaming kind of more Spotify model for songs and the micropayment solution. But I love your idea of, similar to those stock photography sites and stock music, royalty-free kind of stock music sites.
It's another way that we're empowered as creators at that point, I think, so that would be very interesting. And I think that that idea of being able to select a different voice for the production is spot on, first of all, and brilliant. And we're already kind of being groomed for that with things like being able to choose a different voice for Siri and Alexa and that sort of thing.
Exactly. So which is why that's idea. What we expect. Yeah, we expect to be able to do that. Or on Netflix, you can actually change the accents of the actors, and you know, you can do all of that. But circling back, I mean, you and I can geek out on this, but for the listeners, most people are not, I understand that most people listening are not, might not be in that position, but what I think for creators, so think about this. So if you're a creator, so one, you get to get your book into audio cheaper, but two, you can do much more interesting things. So, and I'm assuming an easy way to edit a bit, you know, a bit like a Scrivener drag and drop, or, you know, a Vellum for audio. Yeah. Yeah. But so for example, you can actually have me as a character voice in your audio and Kevin as a character voice in the audio. So it's not even just one voice. Oh,
you
anymore.
Can cast a production.
Yes, that's you can cast a production, and you can, and because at the moment, what is not open to us as indies, I mean, it's expensive to do a one person read, but it is entirely out of the realms of possibility generally for us to do a multicast production. But,
ironically, I could do a multicast production cheaper than I could do
really
hiring a single narrator. Yes, because
but
of
then
my
you have to do all of that audio splicing, which is a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah, as long as I'm the one editing, it's cheaper. If I have to hire an editor, it's not cheaper.
Exactly. Well, but this, what I want people to think about with audio, is it's not just I write a book and then I get it recorded as an audiobook, or I do a podcast and that's that. There's so much potential for audio creation that takes our work into a different field. Also, for example, if you have a screenplay in your back pocket, like I have a few, and many people do, or you can adapt your work to a screenplay, you can adapt it to a radio play, and suddenly you can create a new product from your book. So those are, you know, those are just some ideas for what you can do with the potential technologies that are coming. And the thing is, I know a lot of this stuff is not available to do right now as we speak, but this AI copyright law that just went through, not law, this case that went through in China, I thought that was years away. Like, I really did not, I was not expecting AI to be granted copyright in 2020. So I don't know. I mean, I know Descript think end of 2021, I think off, you know, not officially, but, you know, end of 2021 might be when we see voices available. So who knows? I personally am not going to start my new series in audio until I'm more sure of what's going on in the space, because of course, you know, you either shell out thousands of dollars or you do it yourself, which is a lot of work, or you license it. And of course, licensing it with a great studio is a good idea, but most indies don't get that chance. So I know that there's a lot of options right now. But it might be worth waiting, is what I'm saying. Like, for your backlist, it might just be worth waiting.
That's kind of where I am. Like, I every now and then I get the bug to go, I'm gonna record myself, and I've got the background and equipment and everything I need to do it. What I lack is the time. So I'm
and also what is more valuable? And I mean, personally, I've made the decision that it's the nonfiction. If you have nonfiction people, I suggest doing it ASAP, because there's money. It's so much easier to market nonfiction. Or nonfiction audio listeners are not sensitive to price. So I will use a credit on my, you know, people use credits on nonfiction audio, even if it's like 3 hours. So, and it's much cheaper to produce because it's like 3 hours instead of 15. So, So nonfiction, my recommendation is, nonfiction is worth doing, or license fiction if you can, but for 7 years so you can get it back, or royalty share, I guess, or voices share.
Find a way, voices has lots of nifty ways to do this now. It looks like they're going to be creating more. So, a little plug for our friends at Find a Way Voices. Can't go into too many details.
And they're opening up marketing channels with Chirp Books and... Yeah. You know, I think this is the thing. You and I have been in audio for a long time. Was it 6 years you've been doing this show?
Six years.
I've been a decade. I'm so old in this space. But so to us, it feels like we've been around forever and doing this forever. But for most people, they're actually just dipping their toe in, just getting started, just discovering podcasts. So I think we need to think that we're kind of, if you think about ebooks, we're kind of in 2010.
Yes.
The 2010.
That's how I described it too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those early cowboy days of ebooks, that's where we are with audio.
And so yes, when there was no real ecosystem for marketing, right. You know, that was even before KU, you know, yeah. Hopefully audio won't go down that space, but I suppose it already has with ACX. But.
I'm not going to say who it was because I don't want backlash from him because I really like him, but a well-known, very successful author in our space, in the indie space, has gone on record with me saying that there's no way to market audiobooks. Now, how do you feel about that?
Well, that's a shame because I have a whole chapter in the book with, I'm just going to see how many actually I have. I have 16 bullet points in one chapter on how to market audiobooks.
Yeah.
What I will say, since we're podcasting and because the, you know, podcasting comes into this voice ecosystem. And that's what mm-hmm. I want people to think. This is an ecosystem. This is not, oh, I just go on one podcast episode and suddenly everyone knows me, or I put one right. audiobook up and suddenly I've made money in audio. It's almost like the more you're in the ecosystem, the more people find you, the more you appear, and thus sales happen. So that's one thing. It's like when people say, how do I sell books wide? The answer is the same, which is every single piece of marketing helps you sell books wide.
Right.
And in the same way, to sell audiobooks, you need to be in that audio space. So get on podcasts, pitch podcasts.
Yeah.
And in the book, I actually give an example of a really bad pitch and a really good pitch. And there's more podcasts than ever. So there's something for everyone in every niche.
Yeah.
Or create something. So being in audio is a good way to... sell audio. I'll tell you another really good trick is getting a BookBub deal or doing BookBub ads, because people like me and my husband, who are just rabid audiobook listeners, we will get a book on an ebook on BookBub, on a BookBub deal, because of Amazon Matchmaker,
right.
which will essentially match your audiobook with your ebook and you get it for a cheaper price.
Right.
So what you do if you promote your ebook is you'll sell more audiobooks to audio listeners. So that's a little tip.
I can vouch for that too. That does happen because people, I see spikes when the books that I have that are in audio go on BookBub. I see a spike all across the board. So people are paying attention.
Okay. Well, but this is the thing. I think the wide thing applies. It's like people prefer to read in the way that they read. So if you right. want me to read your audio, your nonfiction book, it better be available in audio. So, mm-hmm. And then if I hear about you, however I hear about you, and I want to buy your book, I choose the audio format. This is why, as authors, we have to have our books available in multiple formats.
Yeah.
And in that way, the reader or listener gets to choose which one they buy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, because you've brought up Descript, which is a interesting tool I've been tinkering around with. And it's mostly for editing podcasts and videos at this point, but the way it does it is through their AI system. Is that something you're using regularly? Are you using it with Creative Pen?
Yeah. So what I've started to do, and this is another little marketing tip, is audiograms. So there's a couple of really cool things you can do with Descript. I mean, first of all, you can, actually I have a tip for you because I've seen some of your transcripts, is their AI assisted transcript can remove filler words. So it will remove and whatever. It will remove it from your audio and it will remove it from your transcript. So there's a little tip. With one click of a button, you can remove all the ums. So you can get rid of that.
So what's funny, though, is if I run it now, no one's going to know what the hell you were just talking about, because the whole sentence is going to be blanked.
Okay, I just said the word. Yeah, that's a good point. I just said a filler word. I just said a filler word and now we're trying to replace it. But there is a tool that can remove filler words.
Right.
Now I can't get away from it. We're circling. But you'll have to edit this.
No way. No way. Warts and all show. You know this.
Take a breath. Audiograms.
Audiograms
is what we're talking about. So I use Headliner app. You can also use Wave, which is WAVVE. What you do with Descript, it's really easy. You highlight the text, and this is the problem with audio, right? It's very hard to find the sentence and snip it out unless you spend ages going through the audio. What you can do with Descript is you just highlight the text and then you say exit, and you can create an audio clip within seconds. Then what you can do is make a little waveform in Headliner, which is a little video. You can put that on YouTube, you can put it on Instagram, you can put it on Facebook. So to advertise audio, you want to use audio. I think as writers, we're so used to using written text, but why would you use written text to advertise audio? So audiograms are this kind of new way of advertising, of snippets, using snippets of audio to advertise your podcast, to advertise your audiobook. And that's something I'm focusing on this year, is starting to really do more audio marketing with audiograms, as well as things like putting those, you can put those clips on YouTube, for example, and social media. You can play video now on pretty much any social media, like Twitter now, you can embed a, you know, 15-second video,
which is
just the waveform of the podcast.
Right. Yeah. I've seen that coming up more and more. So I know there are tools. I've been playing around with some. I use otter.ai for my transcription now, and it's got some of these tools built in, but I've been looking at Descript. It's kind of maybe switching over, but.
And then what Descript has, which will be the technology possibly. Yes. I mean, I'm sure there are other ones, but I can type. So if you go to thecreativepen.com/voicedouble, I've got some recordings of my voice double there. And how that happens is I go into Descript, I type the sentences. So I'm starting with my written words. Then I say overdub, and it creates that with my voice. So that's what you can listen to on /voice double. You link in the show notes, I'm sure.
Yes.
And you can hear it. What's interesting is we trained one voice on my audio narration, which is quite serious, and the other one on my podcast voice, which was much more upbeat, but it just wasn't such high quality. So I must pronounce things better when narrating audiobooks. So the quality is better with the audiobook narration, but the emotional resonance is probably better with the podcast. So I'm hoping, well, I'm sure what will happen over time is the more data I produce, the more I can load up the next iteration, and the next iteration will just get better.
Yeah. Yeah. These are scary things for some people, by the way, this idea of the voice doubles and deepfakes,
yeah,
and all that.
But the thing is, okay, so this is the thing, and this is why I want people to engage with it. It is scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary for privacy reasons. It's scary for robots taking our jobs reasons. When this AI thing happened in China at the weekend, I was sitting there going, okay, this is really big. I was thinking this was years away. What does this mean? And this is why I keep saying on my show, and have done for many years, especially with this ad obsession, is it's about personal brand. It's about finding a community, attracting a community, being part of a community who love you and care for you and really still want you to make a living and also want to buy your stuff and also create things for that community. And so to me, the thing we should be doing is just doubling down on being human, like be as human as possible. Do not write a book that has none of you in it. It has to be emotion. It has to be nonfiction or fiction. It has to be you. Build a brand with your voice like this. You can license it later, but you know, or video. I shy away from video, but I'm going to do more of it this year because I'm real. This ain't a deep fake. This is just your AI and my AI chatting. But and I'm going to do more live events. So I'm thinking of running events here in Bath. I'm speaking more, speaking at a number of places around the world this year, and really just being more human. I literally think that is the way forward. So don't think about it as, well, you can accept that it might be scary, but the reality is that you can't stop this stuff. And I keep using the metaphor, we want to surf the wave rather than drown in it. And the thing is, we can surf the wave because we know it's coming and we can move quickly because we're indies.
Yeah.
The people who can't move quickly are the ones who don't control their IP.
Right. Exactly right. And on that note, I think we're at a really good natural stopping place. So
that was probably quite a techie show.
No, you know, I don't think it was techie. I mean, it's kind of like at the end there, it's almost like you were saying that the AI might actually free us up to get away from our devices and our desks, go out and be amongst the three-dimensional people.
Yes, and the mountains and the rivers and stuff. Let's go walk by rivers and go write
be
together.
More human. I like it. quote Joanna Penn.
Yeah, well, no, that can be the title for the show. Be more human.
Be more human. Now I got to remember to type that in the show notes. Thanks. As always, I always enjoy having you on the show, meeting you in person, chatting. We'll have to get together again soon sometime.
I'm sure we will. If people enjoy this conversation, I am actually narrating the audiobook version of Audio for Authors.
Excellent.
So that will be available soon.
Are you, or are you running it through Descript?
No, I am actually doing it. And also, obviously, the Creative Pen podcast, if you want to pop on over to that.
Excellent. Yeah, check that out. All those things are going to be in the show notes, everybody. Never you fear. Joanna, thank you so much for being a part of the show. And everyone else, right now, you're probably hearing the groovy bridge music. You may dance in place at will. And stick around for some sort of wisdom on the other side.
Thanks, Kevin.
Well, that was Joanna Penn. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Hold on a second. Had to make a little adjustment there. You may have heard the slight ring. That's the, we call that the Wordslinger adjustment ring whenever I move the swing arm for the mic. So anyway, I really enjoy talking to Joanna about everything, really. But when it comes to stuff like this, now Joanna's a futurist. You know, she likes to project what's going to happen in this space down the road based on the research she's done and the conversations she has. I'm somewhat of a futurist myself. I speculate on what's coming, and it's kind of interesting to see what works out and what doesn't. But in the audio space, for authors, I just think there are incredible leaps ahead in the very, very near future. I mean, like within 2020, I think we're going to see some really impressive shifts in technology. And a lot of that is being powered by AI, which, you know, AI is still this young technology, and there are all kinds of, frankly, frightening connotations to the whole thing. Implications might be a better word. Implications can be a little scary when it comes to AI. When you start thinking about things like the Terminator, you know, that sort of thing, Skynet taking over. But in terms of assistive technology, I mean, if it doesn't try to rule us as a species, I think we've got some pretty interesting days ahead. I'm going to be real curious to see how things go. In the audio space in particular, I think it's already doing just incredible stuff. We talked about Descript. We talked about Wave and Otter. All those technologies are branching out. I noticed yesterday that there's been a sudden improvement in the automated transcript for my voicemails that comes across on my Verizon iPhone. I don't know if that's a Verizon technology or an Apple technology. I assume it's Apple. But I noticed that suddenly voicemails are getting a much cleaner transcript, something quite usable, actually. So that's been interesting. And of course, I use Otter AI for the show notes for this show, and I'll just say I'm a little lazy about it, because I just don't have time to sit and edit them the way I should. I try to do it. It gives some spot editing here and there, but for the most part, I just dump that thing right onto the show notes page. So you're welcome, audience. I probably owe you more than that. So anyway, those technologies are profound. I can't wait to see how that impacts the industry going forward. Now, in addition to all of the things we discussed in this episode, actually, shifting gears a little, I'm going to do a little housekeeping stuff. So I am I'm going to be at some conferences coming up. Actually, one conference in particular. I'm going to be at the San Francisco Writers Conference in February. That's in a couple of weeks. I can find an exact date, actually. But that is, I'm going to be doing a couple of cool things there. One of which is running a course built around my 30-day author book. And I've been developing some content about that, around that, for a little while now. But I thought I'd let you guys know, in case you're going to be in the Bay Area, I guess, you can swing by. I don't know what hotel it's in right now. and I'm not seeing it on the website. So, it's the Hyatt Regency. So, swing by the Hyatt Regency. I think there are still tickets available to attend the conference if you want. But even if you just came to the hotel, you'd probably bump into some of us in the lobby. A couple of former guests from the show are going to be at the conference. Jonathan Mayberry is going to be there. He was way back in like 2015. I interviewed Jonathan. So check that out. I'm going to be, Brooke Warner is going to be there. She's been on the show. There's going to be quite a few folks who have been Wordslinger podcast guests in the past. So I'm going to be running a course on the final day of the conference, about 3 hours. And I'm also doing, I think I'm on like 6 panels, and I'm doing a presentation on my own, and a couple of other things, doing some kind of like meet and greet or whatever. I don't know. It's gonna be a rip roaring time for all. So pop in if you get a chance, and maybe you can rescue me. We'll get out of the hotel and go enjoy ourselves in San Francisco somewhere for a bit, so I can blow off some conference stress. aside from that, I have today, Friday the 31st. Nick Thacker and I are doing a webinar, and we're going to try again on one that just completely fell apart on us a few weeks ago, early in the month of January, which is also early in the year. We were doing a 20 subscribers in 2020, or 20,000 subscribers in 2020. So, just a little bit of, we're kind of playing a little bit on, you know, he and I are launching author email, and this is about list building and doing some marketing to help you increase your platform and, you know, reach more readers. So, and kind of build your own book bub is basically what we're trying to help people do. So, you might want to tune in for that. That's going to be happening today, Friday, the 31st at 2 p.m. Central Time. Depending on how quickly this episode goes live today, it may actually go live after the webinar is completed. So if that's the case, no worries. You'll still be able to catch that online. Now, I've created a new YouTube channel for Author Email, and I've also created a new YouTube page for Author Email. I believe that's Facebook page, not YouTube page. I believe that's facebook.com/author email, I believe. And don't have a unique URL for the YouTube channel yet. We have to have 100 subscribers before I can do that. But if you search for Author Email, maybe you can find it. Zoom on over to Author Email, author.email, or authoremail.com, and you can actually sign up to get on the waiting list to be onboarded into the service. You get some free time on it. There's like a 30-day free trial, I think. I think that's where we've landed so far. And I've been using Author Email now for about 4 years. So has Nick, and it's been great. So I'm really looking forward to launching this for the author community. So there is that. I've been doing some webinars with Indie Author Blueprint, which is something I've started with Roland Denzel. I apologize, Roland. But he and I have been pulling together a new service for authors that helps you find resources to help you build and grow your author career, a favorite phrase of mine. But that's what that's all about. It's kind of a clearinghouse of vetted products, services, books, podcasts, blog posts, content that's out there that's useful to the author. And there's nothing on there at the moment that costs you anything. Now, other than the products you might purchase, but we don't sell those directly yet. However, down the road, we'll probably offer some things like courses and books and, you know, other products created directly for the platform. But I don't want to gouge people on anything. I just want to provide something that allows you to, you know, get some benefit out of this stuff. We come across things all the time. I just want to be a clearinghouse for this kind of information. So that's what Indie Author Blueprint is going to be about. And we've done some webinars. I'm kind of getting the hang of live streams and webinars now. So I'm starting to do a lot more of them. So, and of course, Draft to Digital, we just did our January D2D Live was, and now you can go to d2dlive.com, by the way. So that's a cool one. Check that out, because that is a really useful set of information that comes to you every month. And we tend to offer some free one-on-one author consultations as part of that. So if you're there live, you can actually pop in and get a, if they're not taken, if there's any left on the schedule, you can pop in and get a 30-minute free consultation with me, Mark Lefebvre, or Dan Wood, and talk about your where you are in your career, what your goals are, what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, we can give you some advice on in all kinds of categories. So that's it. Yeah, I'm doing a lot more webinar stuff. Lot more of that kind of content is going up out there. So I'm hoping that's going to be useful to you. And a lot of it's going to look a lot alike because I'm running most of it. So it's kind of like it's a Kevin Tomlinson webinar or live stream partnering with this person, or that company. Maybe that's a thing. Let me know if you think that's a good idea. So here we are. I think that wraps us up. I don't have any other. I got another conference. I'm going to be speaking at the RWA in San Antonio in March. And I'm driving. My wife and I are driving up to Oklahoma City actually this week. We're going to spend a week up there at the DDD offices, and we're going to the a Thunder game. Is it Thunders or Thunder? I don't know. I don't know anything about the sports ball, but I am looking forward to hanging out with everybody at a game for once. I never get to go to these with them because I'm always somewhere else. But we're taking the camper up. We took the camper out actually this past weekend to Lake Texana. That's in Edna, Texas, which is near Victoria, Texas, kind of on the coast here. We spent 4 days out at the lake. That was a lot of fun. You know, we were kind of giving the camper a little shakedown. We're getting into it. We'll be into it full time come April. So we're kind of trying to get it all set up, get everything organized, figure out what we can and can't take. What we can't take is quite a lot. What we can take is not a lot. But we're kind of getting it worked out. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, there's something a little scary about it, but also, exciting. So that is going to be an adventure. So that's it. I've rambled on long enough. I hope you got a great deal out of this interview with Joanna Penn. And I hope that audio is going to work for you as part of your career. There's lots of ways to leverage it. So if you have any questions, of course, pop in, ask me, go to the comments for this video or for this podcast on wordslingerpodcast.com. This is episode 207. So just, you can type that in and look for it. And you can leave comments anywhere else you like. Tag me on Twitter at Kevin Tomlinson or on Facebook. Just search Kevin Tomlinson on Facebook. You can also reach out to our guest, Joanna Penn. She's Creative Pen, I believe, on Twitter. I don't have it in front of me. I'm supposed to have it in front of me. Here we go. Hold on. Did I miss it? Yeah. The Creative Pen. At The Creative Pen. All this will be in the show notes at wordslingerpodcast.com. So pop over there and check it out. And otherwise, hope you had a wonderful time. I know I did. God bless you. Let's try that again. God bless you. And we will see you all next time.
Wordslinger.